We knew that GWS had quite the lisp, but of course, between having the names and playing the game, there is a whole lot of work, and quite frankly, if you have a look at the Gold Coast, nothing can be taken for granted. So even though it's early days yet, everybody involved with the Giants must be pretty pleased with the look of the AFL ladder. And one of those people in charge of turning great names into great footballers and hopefully a great team is their senior assistant coach, Alan McConnell. And he joins us now. And by the way, for all you Giants fans, and there are Giants fans in Melbourne because they call in, they've got a wide range of memberships. They can certainly have a membership that is perfect for a Melbourne supporter. So no matter where you live, just go to membership at gwsgiants.com.au for more details and support the team that is on the move. Good evening, Alan.
Good evening, Finey. How are you?
Really well. And actually, and I say this quite honestly, absolutely enjoying every time I watch GWS play. It's one thing to have high draft picks and young players that are considered to be the next big thing, but it's quite the other thing to see them compete against men in AFL football. And I think everybody at GWS, even though it's early days, would be very pleased with the level of contest being given, especially by the younger blokes.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I guess you've only got to look at players who've been in the system 4 or 5 years across the competition to see how long it takes at clubs that have been in the competition for a long time. You know, young McDonald, who's playing fullback for Melbourne this year, who's having a real breakout year, but it's probably taken him 4 or 5 years to get there. So, you know, patience is a great virtue.
Alan, it's Nigel Carmody. Thanks for your time tonight. For all the talent that the group's been able to stockpile, you can only run out with 22 on any given weekend in the AFL. Tell us about how, as you start to climb the AFL ladder, you're working on keeping that group together, because it's so important to have a 30 or a 35 you can pick from every single weekend that's going to be competitive to ultimately be a top four side. But also, you've had so much talent go there. There's an expectation on playing, and for some guys, some weeks, they're going to get posted off to the NEAFL. How is the club going on managing those expectations?
It's a challenge. I think people have this sense that somehow the west of Sydney is a lunar landscape, which is pretty crazy. I mean, I live in a fabulous bit of town. I love living in Sydney. And I think if you ask most of our players, they'd say the same thing. But like every young boy who's on an AFL list, they all want to play in the senior team every week, and we're no different to that. So that's a real challenge for us. It's true to say that we probably over-invest in welfare. We have an outstanding guy in charge of that in Craig Lambert, who's been in the system for a long time, who's got great experience both as a player and a mentor of players from his time in Brisbane and Richmond before that. And then I think over and above that, you know, I think that you know, we, in terms of a duty of care, I think we go above and beyond to make sure that our young players are settled and that their families are very comfortable with the environment that we create for them.
Alan, whilst the best team will be picked every week, within certain boundaries, there are certain limitations. In the fourth season, can we expect the careful handling of young players to take a back seat, even though we saw Lockie Whitfield played a sub, so that may be a little bit of an ode to some forward planning. But generally, can we expect GWS to put the best team available on the field?
Yeah, look, I think that's true, Fine. It's probably true in the past that what we've needed to do is, both in terms of list development and also the protection of players, we've needed to rotate the list reasonably aggressively, which has probably worked in terms of player retention. The flip side of that is that it probably has also created for us a few issues in that young players, when they get a game, no matter what you're telling them during the week about where they're at, if you reward them with a game at the end of the week again, they probably think they're going better than they might be. So, you know, that creates a bit of a challenge. But at this stage, there's no doubt that, you know, we're looking to put our best team out on the park within the restrictions of, you know, player management. I mean, Josh Kelly, for example, was our sub this week, and that's consistent with the fact that he's just a second-year player in our squad.
It's always looked as if your forward line would be built purely on the planks of Jeremy Cameron and Jonathan Patton, but with Patton going down injured and, of course, the trade of Tom Boyd. It's amazing that Cam McCarthy has suddenly, in just five games, sprung to life and seems like he's going to be a long-term player in your forward line and such a key. Have you been surprised in any way, shape or form at the output he's given the team through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Look, I think it'd be fair to say that he's probably performed above our expectations, you know, over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, to come into a competition and kick goals in every game you play, which he's done both in the last game last year and each of the games so far this year, has been exceptional. But that said, you know, it is true that opportunity is a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's probably also fair to say that he's reaped the benefit of us having a lot of inside 50s. You know, I think we're averaging something well in excess of 50 entries a game at the moment, which is far in excess of what we've done in our last 3 years. So he's also reaping the benefit of the ball coming in there a little bit better than it has in the last few years.
We're chatting with Alan McConnell, senior assistant coach with the GWS Giants. And as great as it is to have young players who are talented, it's always good to have somebody that makes you walk taller. And nowadays, it's not that easy to be an enforcer, but the closest the AFL has is Big Mummy, and you've got Big Mummy. And most teams are pretty conscious of the fact that they're up against Big Mummy, and it's a great thing for you.
Yeah, funny, he scares me. He terrorises me during the week, being the oldest statesman around the club, so I can only begin to imagine what it's like for opposition players.
He's got a sense of the midfielder about him as well. He certainly doesn't sit on his haunches after he wins a centre bounce. He's very much part of the midfield four, and I'm sure that's something that has been impressed upon him, and he does very well.
Yeah, and certainly sets a unique standard for our young playing list to follow. There's no doubt about that. You know, you can talk about things all you like, but in the end, it's actions that count and actions that others will follow. And he's no doubt in that sense our spiritual leader out on the ground, along with probably Callum Ward is the other one who sits in that category, I think, in terms of his just fearless attack on the ball and the opposition.
Alan, I think it'd be fair to say that Reece Palmer probably didn't set the world on fire in his first 2 years as a Giant after crossing from the Dockers. Really seems like he's turned things around, and on the weekend, getting to the 100th AFL game, it seems like he's about to really start to hit his straps. And while he's not necessarily required to be one of your best five or marquee players, he's going to be more than capable of holding down a really, really important role.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, he's been winged this week, and so we'll miss a few games over the next month. But, I'm really, really, really pleased for Reece. He's actually done a fabulous job of working with some of our younger players, a couple of whom have lived with him at different stages. So been a real role model for our boys off the ground in lots of ways. But on the field, from the time we started to play him as a small forward, I think he's kicked something close to nearly a two-goal-a-game player, which is exceptional for a small forward. And in addition to that, being given roles to shut down opposition key defenders. So, really pleased for him that he's, you know, gained some benefit from some hard work. You know, it's not easy coming back from a knee reconstruction, and he's doing a great job for us.
Alan, on to this weekend, and it might surprise people. I reckon if you went to GWS and said to them, which game this year do you really want to put up a good showing in, I would have thought it's this game against West Coast. 111 points in the first season, or might have even been last year. Sorry, 111 last year, 100 points the year before, 81 points in season number one. For some reason, West Coast has had the absolute hoodoo over. They've got a hex on you or something. It surely the boys will be dying to get over there and prove to West Coast that you are not easy beats, because you aren't, but they might think you are.
Yeah, they'd have pretty good reason to think it, Finey. I appreciate you reminding me of those scores. We certainly haven't put up a good fist against West Coast to this point. There is something to prove. It's another challenge for our young group. It's an opportunity to go to Western Australia and win for the first time, and something that we're looking forward to and feeling, you know, reasonably confident about.
There's no reason that it's generally considered that Subiaco is a larger ground. I would have thought that probably suits the young GW. The way you're playing this year, run is not an issue. So the expanses of Subiaco should be right up your alley.
Yeah, look, you're probably right. I would say exactly the same thing, but I think we probably picked our best running team maybe against, might have been against Fremantle over there last year, and they blew us away in the last quarter. Or maybe it was either them or the West Coast, one of the two, I can't quite remember now. But, yeah, I would have thought that it suits us and the nature of our list, but time will tell.
One thing time has already told is a midfield that, well, I'm not sure whether people even reckon, because when all the draft choices were made and we saw GWS, all the talk really was about Jeremy Cameron and of course, Patton and Boyd. But the midfield group that is, and you've mentioned Callan Ward and the great role he's played, but that midfield group is something to behold. And I guess the big question is whether GWS can hang on to them all, but let's just take that as a given. Alan, as a former senior AFL coach, you've seen plenty. This midfield in 3 or 4 years has the potential to be close to the best in the comp. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, potential's a dirty word, Finey. I've spent a lot of time working with a lot of potential, and some of it goes somewhere and some doesn't. But yeah, look, there's no doubt they're a very talented group. And I heard one of your callers earlier, it might have even been you guys, talking about the impact Ryan Griffin's had on this group and the ability to have freed them up a little bit at different stages. And there's no doubt our boys are benefiting from that, along with the contribution of Callan Ward. They've got a long way to go. The other bit around talent is that often young boys coming through the pathway who are very talented don't have to think too much outside the square. And so the other big challenge is actually having that group of players blend together and want to play for and with one another. And that's another part of the puzzle that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of really good coaching. And in the end, a commitment from the group of players to want to do it, which we're just starting to see, I think, in the way we're playing at the moment.
One last one, and we've mentioned memberships, and for any listening fan, especially those in Melbourne who think that, well, membership at GWS doesn't necessarily have to come with support, it does. So go to gwsgiants.com.au for more membership details, and there are special memberships for Melbourne-based supporters. How are the numbers? How's the club tracking in terms not only of members but just of column inches and relevance in a very busy west of Sydney and a sporting landscape that is quite crowded?
Well, look, relative to the Melbourne stage, look, you know, we're a minnow. There's no question about that. You know, you look at membership and all those sort of things. I felt there was a bit of a shift here in Sydney in the last 4 or 5 weeks of last season where there was certainly more interest, which came on the back of more consistent performances. We've not played in town apart from the game against the Swans at the SCG this year because of our arrangements with the showgrounds up here in Sydney. That our first home game will be here in a couple of weeks' time. We've obviously been to Canberra where we love to play, but the presence in Sydney still, it's a challenge, but we believe that as we move forward, we can get there. It's really interesting, you know, there's a group of coppers who drink coffee at the shop next door to my home, and when I first met them about 6 or 8 weeks ago, they didn't even know what my colours represented. You know, I changed, ready to go to work in the morning. And now, 6 weeks later, they know we're second on the ladder. They know we've won 3 games in a row. And I think that is exactly the reason why, you know, it's a generational thing. That, you know, the build of this club is a big, big project. And it's an incredibly exciting thing to be a part of, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience and a lot of hard work.
Spot on. And, of course, Jeremy Cameron trying to get Wanderers fans to support the Giants. If that bicycle kick would have been a goal, he would have won the A-League goal of the season. But
can you believe somebody actually talks about how he's been waiting for the opportunity to do that? And in fact, if you watch it, he took 3 steps so he could do it, backwards so he could do it. I mean,
It really wasn't the way he struck it. It was more the way he was pointed. He will get a goal that no one will believe eventually, because
I can't say we coached him in that, fine.
I don't think anybody has ever been coached in that in AFL, but if they're talking about him alongside Wayne Rooney, it's just another way for people to engage with GWS, and they are very engaging. Alan, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a side that, well, maybe not when they're playing your team, but you've got to like because of the way they play the game. Thanks again.
Cheers, Sonny.